thank you, Brother Luke. My, what a wonderful truth. Most of you know Luke Carringer works there in the Going Home program with Jesse Maxwell over the radio, and real blessing, one of our college students, and we praise the Lord for his good testimony that he has. My privilege tonight to have Brother Mike Mullins again. Brother Mullins is our missionary out of our own church, graduated our college, been doing a great work over in San Diego, Chile, started a church in Tennessee that's still going before he went over there. He and Martha are about to leave tomorrow. I feel for them, like flying that long trip back and maybe all the complications. They had to stay here extra because of the COVID scare. But Brother Mullins, I want you to come on up and bring a message, and he's had the chance to preach to us a few times, but we're so proud of he and Martha, their testimony and service to the Lord, and that they're out of our church. Maybe the first time he heard about us, he might have heard about us on the radio, I can't remember, but God has really used he and Martha over there in Chile, and we praise the Lord for that. Brother Mike Mullins.
Thank you, Pastor. Well, good evening. It's good to be with you, amen. Thank you for being faithful to the Lord's house tonight, amen. It's good to be here on the Lord's day, amen. And like Pastor was saying, we are about ready to head back to the field tomorrow, amen. And we have been here longer than intended. We were supposed to have went back the 2nd of September. And since then, our tickets have been suspended 5 times, amen. And it gets a little bit aggravated after the first time. It's a little bit more aggravating, amen. But 5 times, amen, trying to get back. But it's a go for tomorrow. I was just on their website today, and all the flights are on time, so we ought to be able to get back down there. Chile, they're really still having a difficult time. The scare factor, you understand that the churches are still shut down. Schools are still shut down. There's a mask mandate in Santiago, where we're at, which is the capital. So if you're outside your home, you have to have a mask on. Even if you're walking down the street, you have to have a mask on. If they catch you, they'll fine you, write you a ticket. And so it's difficult. We've got to do a 14-day quarantine from the airport to our home. I don't know how that's going to work out exactly, if they're going to come check up on us or if they're just going to call or what they're going to do. But anyway, it's a little bit difficult, so you pray for us, amen. We're excited about getting back, but we're not excited about being locked down, amen. And it looks like you guys might be getting locked down, amen. We'll pray for you, amen. So hopefully that turns out all right, amen. But we want to thank you so much, for so many of you, for your kindness toward us. I mean, for just being with us, loving us, feeding us, and encouraging us. Thank you for your kindness, so many of you. Thank you so very much. We appreciate that. It really encourages us to do a better job for the Lord, amen. And there's just can't be enough said about just good old Christian love, amen, about loving one another, amen. The Bible says so much about that. And, well, I want to be a blessing to you tonight. I've had the opportunity to preach a bunch of times around here since we've been here the last number of months. And I think of preaching just about every ministry, most of them, that they have around here, mostly with adults now. I don't do well with kids, amen. Teasing with you, amen. I was junior church pastor, youth pastor, assistant pastor years ago, but I got away from that pretty quick, amen. But I'm thankful to have the opportunity to preach again. And every time I get to preach here in the main church service, boy, I really want to try to do my best, amen. And so I study up and I study up. And every time it comes out really good, I'm excited, but I know the next time it's even got to be better than that. So the pressure's on, amen. Now, actually, I just want to be a blessing to you tonight. I'm not going to talk about the coronavirus, amen. I started about telling you a joke about the coronavirus, and I said, you know what? It's not even funny anymore, amen? So let's just open up our Bibles, amen? We're going to go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I love the book of Acts. Taught this book a number of times. I was teaching it in our church down there before they locked us down. On Wednesday nights. It's a great book. I find so much teaching material here, and I love history. I love reading about all these little places, these little towns, and kind of their histories and researching about them. And we're going to study a little bit about one tonight, Acts chapter 20. I think I'm going to pick it up probably in about verse 6. Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. If I could pick a message for this title for this message tonight, I guess I would just call it A Young Man Named Eutychus. Amen? So we're going to speak about him tonight. Acts chapter 20 and verse 6. And the Bible says, "And we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and came unto them to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow." That's kind of like us tonight, amen? "And continued his speech until midnight. And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together. And there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sank down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell on him, and embracing him, said, Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again, and had broken bread and eaten, and talked a long while, even till break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive, and were not a little comforted." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight, and we thank you, dear God, for your precious word. Lord, I pray, God, that you would use me once again and fill me up with your Holy Spirit. Help me, dear God, to be a blessing, Lord God, to this dear church and these dear folks. Thank you for the opportunity. Speak to our hearts, Lord, as only you can. In Jesus' name, amen. This chapter here is a pretty good chapter. And Paul is just kind of jumping all over the place. And in these chapters through here, you could go all the way back to chapter 16 and really kind of bring it all the way through. I guess it was in about chapter 18, near the end of the chapter, he begins what we would refer to as his third missionary journey. So when you get to Acts chapter 20, Paul's on his third missionary journey, and he's traveling around. In the first few verses of this chapter, it says he was in Macedonia, and then he went into Greece, and he spent 3 months over there. And he started having problems with the Jewish people over there, and they set a trap for him. So he left out of there, and he went back to Macedonia, Philippi. And then eventually he's making his way down to Troas. In verse 5, it says, "And going before tarried for us at Troas," and then again in verse 6, "and came unto them to Troas." Now it's interesting to note that in verse 4, you're going to find about seven different men listed there in that verse. These men are traveling with Paul, and actually they went down to Troas, and Paul would come later and meet with them down there in Troas. And it says here in verse 6, "And we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to Troas in 5 days. So it took him 5 days to sail there from Philippi. And we understand that Philippi, Macedonia, that's Greece. That's on the other side of the Aegean Sea. Took him 5 days to get there. The "we" is he's traveling with Silas. That's his companion, his missionary partner. The other men that are mentioned here in verse 4 meet up with them in Troas. I kind of think that maybe Paul was maybe using some of these guys. Hey, there's numbers in protection, protection in numbers. And we know that Paul was collecting offerings and stuff from the Gentile churches to take to the church at Jerusalem. They were having some difficulties down there, and he was taking offerings. Maybe had some of these guys traveling with him more for protection. It was a rough area, man. But nevertheless, that Paul's got a big company of men with him by the time he gets to Troas. And the Bible says here, now, first of all, if you think about that little town of Troas, and there's so much that could be said about that little town of Troas. First of all, you're gonna find that Troas is mentioned about 6 times in the New Testament. It's also referred to as Troas or Troad. It's named actually after the ancient city of Troy. And if you'll find where Troas is actually located on the map, which is kind of western Turkey there. It's a port town. And the old city of Troy is actually only about 4 miles from where the city of Troas was at in Bible times. And for many years, they didn't believe there actually was an ancient city of Troy until one day they dug it up. Amen? And that kind of rings true with so many things today. So many things in the Bible they like to discredit or say is not true. And then one day they dig it up. Amen? And they find out that it was. But Troy, or Troas, was named after the old city of Troy, the ancient city of Troy. And of course, Troy fell in about 1250 B.C. to the Greeks. And we know about that because Homer, the Greek poet, he wrote about it. It's amazing that we've got manuscripts that would date that far back, because Homer was born about 800 years before Christ. But yet we have his writings today. Obviously not a Christian man, obviously not a godly man, but we have the history of his accounts of what happened to the old ancient city of Troy and how it fell. He said that the Greeks besieged Troy for 10 years. Wow, 10 years. And I know the story. I've heard it 100 times. I've read about it. I know the story how the Spartan king's wife was kidnapped by the prince of Troy, and that made all the Greek tribes and kings band together and go over there and 10 years besiege the city of Troy to get that woman back. That might have made him do it. That might have made him go over there and fight. But I think it was a lot more detailed than that. I think what really brought all of the tribes of Greece together to fight against mighty Troy and their big walls, I think it had something more to do with trade routes. Greece was on the Aegean Sea on this side. Troy was on the Aegean Sea on this side. You got the Mediterranean Sea down to the south. It runs up into the Aegean Sea. Then it goes over to the Black Sea. Before you get to the Black Sea, there's another little sea. It's called the Sea of Marmara. I remember that because the word mar in Spanish means ocean. And so Greek, Latin, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, all of these languages have root words. There's so many words that are together. And so the Black Sea, the Sea of Marmara, the Aegean Sea, and the Mediterranean Sea. And they run all of those trade routes through there. That's why Rome, when they conquered all that territory, they conquered all the territory around these oceans, around the Mediterranean, around the Aegean, amen? And it was all about controlling the trade routes that went up and down through there. Because, see, if you controlled the trade, you made the money. If you got the money, you got the power, right? And so that's what it was all about, amen? It wasn't necessarily about Helena, the Spartan queen that had been abducted. And that might have got him crazy into it. But to spend 10 years over there, 10 years of finances, of money, of life, of your time away from your country and your family, it was a whole lot more than just Helena, amen? It was about trade routes, amen? And if you think about that, Troas sitting there on what we would consider Turkey today, on that western point there, if you go up a little bit further and you go through the Sea of Marmara, there's going to be like a little strait that goes through to the Black Sea. There's another big capital in that time was called the, I got the name here, Byzantine. There you go. Byzantine Empire. Now, the Byzantine Empire was established by the Greeks about the 7th century B.C. And the Byzantine Empire was a mighty empire, but the Romans controlled it. It was a Roman colony. And I remember it was in 330 A.D. that the Roman Emperor Constantine, that he changed the name the Byzantine Empire, which is really a big giant city, to Constantinople. Amen? He changed that name of the city to Constantinople, where it became basically, ultimately, the capital of Rome. Because remember, Rome was divided between the East and the West in those days. And Constantinople became the capital of Rome for probably about the last 65 years before they fell to the Ottoman Empire. And the Ottoman Empire was an Islamic people that had came in. You remember gunpowder was invented by the Chinese about the end of the 9th century. And it took about 200 or 300 years for gunpowder to get all over the known world in that day. It was the same gunpowder that the Ottoman Empire would ultimately use against the Romans in Constantinople to beat down their big giant walls. They brought these big giant cannons in and they beat them walls down in 55 days. And when Constantinople fell, that was the last straw of the Roman Empire. I mean, after that, there was no more Roman Empire. I mean, when those walls came down, the Islamics came in, the Ottoman Empire came in, and they killed anybody that was associated with the royal family. Now, the Eastern Empire, the Western Empire, which is back in Rome and Italy, they had really kind of faded out many, many years before. Really, that was just kind of a vain glory of years gone by. So for the last really 100 years, and definitely the last 65 years, the Roman capital was Constantinople. As a matter of fact, they referred to that as the New Rome. And so when you think about the trade routes that would go through that area, and of course, Constantinople in 1453, the Ottoman Empire took them down, and Mehmed II, Sultan Mehmed II, don't quote me on that, I think that's his name. He's the one that basically took Constantinople, changed the name to Istanbul, right? Which is still called Istanbul today, which is the capital of Turkey. So it's very interesting history as you study the Bible. So you get all that out of the name of Troas. I got all that just out of the name of Troas right here in the Bible, amen? And so let's go back to our book, amen? It says here, and upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread. Now, it's interesting to note, first day of the week. I mean, it was customary for the disciples, and definitely all the years after them, for God's people to break bread, to come together, to hear the preaching of God's word on the first day of the week. Amen? And that was Sunday. And we did that in honor of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? First day of the week. Paul preached unto them. You see that right there? Preached unto them. It says, continued his speech until midnight. And then a little bit further down in verse 9, Paul was long preaching. Amen? I want you to think about that for just a moment. Preaching. Amen? Bless God, in our day and time, we've got to get back to preaching. Amen? Preaching the word of God. Amen? I mean, we need the word of God preached to us. Amen? We need to listen to preaching. That's why it's so important to come to church and be faithful and hear the preaching of God's word and let it convict our heart, motivate us and use us and compel us to do something for Him. Amen? The preaching of God's word. The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That's how important preaching is. 1 Corinthians, it says this, Paul said, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Amen? That's what we're supposed to do, preach the gospel. Even Jesus said, Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Amen? Bless God, we need preaching. Amen? We can't get away from it. Amen? We got to run to it. We got to cleave it. Amen? Preaching to the word of God. And I love good preaching. Amen? And there's all types of preaching. There's slow preaching, there's fast preaching, there's tall preachers, and there's short preachers, amen? There's long preaching, and there's short preaching, amen? Well, in this context, Paul was a long preaching, amen? You know, sometimes we put God in a little old box, amen? That little old box says, the church service has to be 1 hour and 15 minutes, and we can't go over. Hey, we can handle 30 minutes of preaching, but bless God, not 40, amen? Hey, don't put God into a little box. What if God wants to preach 1 hour, amen? What if the Holy Spirit said, don't stop? Somebody there needs to hear it, amen? Don't put God into a box, man. Let God preach, amen? Let the Holy Spirit come down. I think that's why we don't have revival in the day and time that we live in, because we put God into a little old box, preaching of the Word of God. By the way, we need bold preaching. We need bold preaching. This is what the Bible says. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. The Bible says, and Barnabas took him and brought him unto the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and how he'd spoken to him and how he preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. Bold preaching. Hey, the Bible says, long time, therefore, abode they speaking boldly in the Lord. The Bible says, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. Hey, the Bible says, and he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of about 3 months. Amen. Hey, bold preaching of the Word of God. I was bold preaching the other night. Man, I was preaching a message. You ever pat yourself on the back? Man, I was preaching a message. I was going to town, and it was coming out good, amen? And I was looking at the ceiling. I was laying in my bed, and I was preaching that message. It was coming out so good, and I heard a voice speak to me. I'm serious. And I puckered up and I said, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And the voice said to me, "Mike, if you don't stop, I'm going to go to the other room and sleep." I'm serious. Bold preaching, that's what we need, friend. Amen? Yeah. Look at this context here. It says this, "And there were many lights in the upper chamber where they were gathered together." Now get the picture in your mind. It's late at night. They're in an upper chamber. They're on the third floor of this building. Got a preaching service up there going on. By the way, this is not a religious gathering or a social event. It's a preaching event. That's what they were doing here. It was a preaching event. And so they're up there, and they're on the third floor, and they're preaching till late at night. It says that Paul was long preaching, and there was lights up there. Now, that was olive oil lamps. That's what they used in those days. You might think they was torches. That's a little bit primitive, but probably was olive oil lamps. And the olive oil lamp was invented way back B.C., so they definitely had plenty of them. Olive oil lamps. That's probably what they had up there. And they were preaching, and the place was packed out. I don't know how many was there. 50, 75. I don't know how many they could fit up there. There was so much room up there, or so many people up there, that Eutychus couldn't find him a seat. He was sitting in the windowsill. That's what it says. It says, "And," verse 9, "there sat in a window a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead." You know, the sad truth of this, somebody once said that Eutychus fell because he was half in the church and half out. And that might not be exactly the idea in the context here, but bless God, it'll fit. Amen. When God's people are not 100% in God's will, in God's house, serving God and doing what they're supposed to be doing. Amen. I mean, when they got one foot on the outside, as it were, you primed to fall down. Oh, yeah, you primed to fall down. And I hate for anybody to fall, and I don't understand people that get saved and not serve God. I don't understand people that get saved and be a Christian and not be a very good Christian. I don't understand people that just won't give everything that they have into the service of God. Bless God, if I was in this church on a full-time basis, I'd be involved in everything. I would. I went and preached to a senior patron's day. I love that. I preached over here in the village chapel, I don't know, about three times, Brother Bunch. I love that. Them old people, they love me to death, amen. I love that, amen. Just get faithful, man. Serve God, amen. Yeah, yeah. He was half in and half out. He was sitting up there in the windowsill. The window didn't have glass on it. And he said he fell down in sleep. I don't know how you can fall asleep listening to the Apostle Paul, but somehow he did it. Amen. You know, I've seen people sleep in church. I don't like it much, to be honest with you. I think it's a little bit disrespectful. Amen. But I'm a little bit, you know, humbled in the fact that I understand age and medication and sickness. So I have a little bit of mercy, but I don't like it much, to be honest with you. I've seen my share of buck teeth and tonsils. Amen. And I don't like it much. I think if you're in church, you ought to be paying attention. Amen. I mean, focused on the man of God. I hate it when I'm preaching and other people are doing something else. I'm talking about a grown person playing with a cell phone, talking with a neighbor. I don't like that. Focus. I'm in focus. I'm in. We need the preaching of the Word of God. We need it. I need it. Amen. Don't distract me, friend, talking behind me. I need to hear the Word of God. Eutychus. He needed to hear the Word of God, but he was sleeping. Because he was sleeping, he fell. Yeah. You start sleeping, friend. And there's something called sleepwalking. You can be walking around in normal day life. Amen. Hey, brother. Amen. Hey. And you sleeping just as asleep as anybody else. Amen. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I've seen some funny videos, people walking around with their cell phone. Walk right out in the middle of traffic. Amen. Fall right into the water fountain, amen? Fall into the lake, amen? Sleepwalking, amen? Eutychus, I don't know if maybe he had a bunch of family in that church service that night. Maybe he was saved. Maybe he was backslidden. Maybe he was trying to be cool, sitting up there in the windowsill. I don't know why, But I know that maybe he worked hard that day. I don't know. Amen. But he was sitting in that windowsill, and he fell. Now think about this. Paul is preaching. And I can just, there's no microphones in those days. I mean, he's thundering out the word of God. Paul is preaching, amen? And all of a sudden, that's about what happened, amen? Now, notice the context. It says in verse 10, first of all, in verse 9, it says, was taken up dead. I believe he died. Some people don't believe that. I don't see how much clearer you can get. It says he was taken up dead, amen? Verse 10, and Paul went down and fell on him. Now, I've seen death in my time. I've seen death. Death ain't pretty. And you that work in the hospitals, paramedic, firefighter, military, you that have seen death up close, it ain't pretty. And I don't know, but maybe this young man, when he'd fell from the third story, big fall like that, you mean broken and twisted. And it's not pretty. Paul was the first one down those steps. He was the first one down. The Bible says he throwed himself upon the top of the boy. I kind of like to think in my own mind that it was kind of to shield everybody else from what they'd see. Maybe his mom and daddy was there. Maybe they was little kids. And we know that they all followed him down because it says this. He shouted back, "Trouble not yourselves. For his life is in him." Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. God would do a miracle that day, and he'd bring this young man back to life. You know that every time someone gets saved, it's God bringing someone back to life. You know, that's a miracle that takes place. You know, Eutychus, he got raised back from the dead. He's not the only person in the Bible. Lazarus also. Amen? Jesus also. He's not the only one. Amen? What was the lady that made the coats for everybody? What was her name? Lydia. No, not Lydia. Somebody else. Dorcas. Her. Yeah. There's other people in the Bible as well. But he came back from the dead. Now, you can just about imagine what kind of testimony you'd have after that. Amen? I mean, I was listening to Apostle Paul preaching. Next thing you know, I was falling through the air. Huh? And next thing you know, I woke up and Paul was hugging me. I mean, this guy had a testimony, man. And I'd like to think that maybe he went on to use that testimony to do some good in this old world. Amen? Maybe to reach somebody else. You know, I think that God saves us many times so that we will use our testimonies, our experiences that we've had in the past, to be a blessing and be a help to somebody else. Amen. You know, I try to be just as friendly as I can go everywhere I can go. I try to love people unconditionally. Amen? I try to shake their hands. By my nature, I'm not that outgoing. Amen? But I just come out of my shell. Amen? Because I know that it's what God wants me to do. I know that if I stay trapped in that cell, sit in that little, and never get to know anybody, I'm never going to be able to help anybody. Right. Amen? And so I try to come out of that shell. You remember the man that got saved, the maniac of Gadara? You remember he was possessed with all them spirits? Jesus cast him out. And he said, "Lord, I want to go with you." He said, "No." He said, "Go to your friends and tell them what good things God has done for you. Hey, go be a testimony for what happened in your life." Amen. That's what he said. And so when I think about this young man that fell down from the window and was taken up dead, I like to think that he spent the rest of his days, that he spent the rest of his life being a testimony of what God had done for him. I hope that's what happened. I hope he became a preacher. Amen? I hope that he tore up the town of Troas preaching the word of God. I hope that he went on to start a church, First Baptist Church or Calvary Baptist Church or Independent Baptist Church of Troas. Amen. I hope he did. Amen. I hope he went on to do something for God. You know, that our God is a miracle-working God. Amen. That was a miracle right there, friend. Hey, you know that our God is in the miracle-working business? You know, you're looking at a miracle many times over. Amen. Hey, God is a miracle-working God. Amen? Hey, our God is so powerful. You know, he can do anything he wants. You think he is worried about the election down here? No. Bible says he sits in power whom he wants. Amen? He builds them up and he takes them down. He's not worried. You see, God's got a bigger plan that I can't understand. But I do know that in this last days before the coming of the Son of Man, I need to be doing personally, and you too, all that I can do, amen, to make a difference in this world. And maybe I can only reach a couple. Maybe I can only reach a few, amen. But bless God, those few are going to spend an eternity in heaven and not hell, amen. Because I, and because you that decided to use the talents and the abilities, and maybe not so many talents and maybe not so many abilities, amen, but use whatever God give us for his honor and for his glory. Amen. You know, I love preaching. I love to preach. I love hearing preaching. I don't miss church, and I'm always faithful. If you don't see me here, I'm preaching somewhere, amen? And so I think that's the kind of life that we have to live in these last days. Friends, we are seeing the Bible fulfilled at a rate that we can't even begin to understand. I can't even keep up with all of it. Amen? It's happening so fast. It's beginning to snowball. Amen? All I can say is look up, friend. Look up. We're fixing to hear a trumpet blast. Amen? And we're going to be out of here. And I know that in these last days that there are scoffers and mockers and ungodly people that are going to say, where is this coming? Where's he at? I thought he was supposed to have already came. It's been 2,000 years. 2,000 years, amen. A year with the day is as a year with the Lord is that 1,000 years. 1,000 years to the day. Where's he at? Huh? Maybe we're going to go through the tribulation after all. No, friend. He's coming. He's coming in a day that you know not. He's coming in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye. He's going to come. He's going to come for his church. And we have to live off that and be encouraged by that. And reach others. Tell others about Jesus. Win souls. Do something. Be faithful. Be loyal. Amen. Boy, there's something to be said about loyalty. Be loyal to the man of God. Amen. Be faithful to these men that are trying to help you and guide you and do something for God. Man, Haines City is growing. I mean, by leaps and bounds. They're building homes everywhere. Amen. What an opportunity. As Landmark Baptist Church kicks in the second wind, so to speak, amen, comes out of the coronavirus, just a blazing for God, winning souls in this area, church growing, amen. That's something that we need. That's something that we need. And Paul was preaching into the night, past midnight. Some of you guys want to get out of here right now, don't you? Huh? The TV has taken the place of the preaching of the Word of God. Huh? Anybody here thought about what they were going to watch when they got home tonight? Huh? Yeah, the TV has taken the place of the preaching of the Word of God. It has. It has. And Paul was long preaching. Not only did he preach to well after midnight, they ate later on in the night. Huh? Yeah. Look what it says here. It says here, and Paul went down and fell on him, embracing him, trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him. When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten, it says, when he, who's the he? Paul. He got hungry after all that preaching. Amen? He got hungry after God had used him to bring that man back to life. He got hungry running down three flights of stairs, amen, and then going back up. Amen? Preaching, eating. I mean, until the break of day. I know that one time a year, you have a service here that goes all the way till midnight. Right? 1 minute after midnight, watch night service, right? I think they've done it pretty regularly over there. In those days, oh yeah, preaching. Amen? Now, I'm encouraged that Paul could preach all them hours. Friend, I feel my throat getting a little bit weak right now. Amen? My throat. Probably all that preaching in the bed at nighttime. But I feel it getting weak right now. I'm encouraged that Paul could preach all of those hours till after midnight. Amen? And I'm even more encouraged that they was all there, listening, enjoying, loving, fellowshipping. And the women had brought all the food for after the service. Amen? Yeah, the preaching of the Word of God. You know, our God is, He's so powerful. He's so awesome. Amen? He wants to do something with so many people. You college guys, man, you've got an opportunity. And I know probably most of you are going to major in pastoral theology, something like that. You want to be a pastor, right? Anybody want to be a pastor here? Two of you want to be a pastor? What you guys want to be? You don't know yet? Listen to me. Missions. You want to live an exciting life? Be a missionary. Let me tell you what it's like being a missionary. When I'm back here in the States, I'm a full-time evangelist. That's what I feel like, amen? I'm just traveling and preaching. We've stayed more here around Landmark, not because I had to, because we wanted to. Amen. We just wanted to be here around some of you folks. Huh? And we wanted to hear Pastor Carter. And I could have a full schedule nonstop. But to you guys, I'm the missionary. Because I serve on a foreign field. Because I've learned a second language. But down there, I'm just the pastor. I marry them. I bury them. I disciple them. I baptize them. Amen? I lead the married couple reunion every month. My wife does the ladies. I teach the adult Sunday school class. Amen? It's a ministry. Amen? Day before yesterday, I have one of our men call me. And Hernan, I led him to the Lord about 7 years ago. Come out of the Catholic Church. He and his wife both. They got saved, baptized them in our church, and they've been faithful ever since. Her mother is just passed away a couple of days ago, just old age, 94, I think she was. Sweet, sweet, godly woman. She got saved in our church. She'd come. This is an old, very old, frail lady. Amen. And she would just hug on me. She was so sweet. You know what they told me? I talked to him on the phone. The funeral was yesterday. They only let them have 25 people at the funeral because of the corona. You know what he told me that she said? The night that she passed, she said, "Tell the pastor how much we love them." Just hours before she passed away. That's what it's like being a missionary. Amen? When you are in the will of God, you will produce fruit wherever you are. It's so exciting. We try to help people and get them into church and be faithful. You know, I found that people follow you if they know you're real. You hear me? People, they will just cleave to you if they know you're real. If your testimony is right, you're not trying to trick them or seduce them. I mean, you really want the best for them. They will cleave to you. They will follow you if you love them. If you're stinking friendly, amen, they will love you. They will follow you, and you'll be able to help so many people. You know, the best advice that I can give you is just be friendly. Love people. Hey, the Bible says that love covers a multitude of sins, and I hope it does. I hope it does. Amen. Love people. Come out of your shell. Amen. Have a testimony for God. Do something for Him. Amen. While there's time, while you have health, while you have strength, there's some older folks in this church that don't have health anymore. That don't have strength anymore. Amen? Can barely make it to a church service, right? And if you guys keep living, you'll be there one day too if the Lord don't come. Huh? Hey, while you got strength, while you have ability, while you have energy, God wants to use you. Let me tell you what we're going to do. We've been in Santiago, Chile for 10 years. We were 5 years in another church plant before that. 15-year missionaries. We're going to go back tomorrow. You know what we're going to do? Love people. Amen. Tell them how they can be saved. Grow the church. Grow the work. Disciple folks. Baptize folks. Amen. Marry them when they're young and bury them when they're old. work the ministry. Amen? Until the Lord comes back or he calls us home. That's what we do. I am so thankful for this church and what it has meant to me throughout my life. And I came here, I guess it was 2002, came to Landmark in 2002 and went to Bible college. And they let me graduate too, by the way. Amen? They just couldn't run me off. Amen? And so I graduated. Amen? And I just felt an overwhelming call in my life to be a missionary. Huh? I don't know why. I just knew that that's what God wanted me to do. I don't know what he wants you to do, but I know he wants you to do something.
Amen?
Amen? So if you're not going to go to the mission field, and I hope you do, you're not going to go take a church somewhere, and you might want to do that. So if you're going to stay here in this church, bless God, be active.
Amen.
Be faithful. You're not going to be able to do everything, but you'll find somewhere. You'll find some group. Amen? You'll find some part of the ministry where you click. Amen? Where you belong. Where you fit. It might be on a bus route. It might be back here in the Senior Patriots. Amen? Hey, it might be teaching a Sunday school class. Amen? It might be in Pastor's Adult Sunday School class. It might be back there with Brother Parsons. I don't know, but you're going to find somewhere where you click, where you're going to be able to make a difference. Amen?
Amen.
And your testimony and your love for others, it's going to help somebody. Amen? And it might help a whole bunch of people if you just come out of yourself. Just come out of yourself. Shake a hand. Hug a neck. Be friendly. Amen? Love people unconditionally. I hope that's what Eutychus did. He had a tragic experience. He fell down and was taken up dead. I just think in my heart and my mind that with that kind of testimony, I mean, being raised back from the dead by the Apostle Paul, I'm friend of the Holy Spirit of God. I just believe with all my heart, with all my mind, that that man had to went on to become a preacher. He had to go on to become a missionary. He had to go on to start a church. I bet Troas wasn't the same after that. I bet it wasn't. I bet everybody in town had heard about the resurrection of Eutychus. Young preacher was preaching one time, and he was from the hills of Tennessee. This is a true story now. And he was preaching on this young man, Eutychus. He got tongue twisted like I did just then. And he said, Eutychus fell down from the third story window. It can happen, man. Believe me, it can happen. But this man, this young man, after this experience, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, I just got to believe that he went on to do great things for the Lord. I don't know what. We don't know how his life turned out. We don't hear much more about this young man. Amen? But I think in heaven we're going to find out a whole lot of things that we missed down here. Amen. I miss a whole lot down here. Say, Brother Mike, did you hear about this? No, I didn't hear about that. Brother Mike, did you see that? I didn't see that. Amen. I miss and don't see a whole lot of stuff. Amen. I try to catch what the God sends my way. Huh? I can't get them all, but I try to catch what God sends my way. Amen. Not that talented. Not that great of a speaker. Sometimes a little bit nervous. Amen. And sometimes I feel inadequate. Huh? Sometimes I feel not very educated. Huh? But I take just a little bit that God gives me, and I try to use it for good and make a difference in that area where God has planted me. I did see this thing the other day, is that churches that are making the biggest impact in the United States of America are from pastors that have been there from 5 to 20 years in the pulpit. You see, you can't get nothing done for God going and staying for a year or two. You preach all your messages, and then you have to go somewhere else to preach them all over again. No. You got to stay where God sends you. Huh? You got to plant your feet. Amen? And I understand that sometimes God changes the direction. Amen? Changed mine 10 years ago to the foreign field. Amen? I understand that. But if we're going to do something and accomplish something big for God, we got to stay put. Amen? We got to serve until we know for sure it's God's will to change directions. Amen? And I just know and I just believe that's what happened to this young man. That he was used of God in a great way after that night. And I just know and believe that many of you guys are going to go on to do great things for God. Great things. Man, the opportunity that you have. Churches all over the place needing pastors. Countries all over the world needing missionaries. Huh? You just have to be that one that says, I'll go. It's easy to say it's easy to be the one that says, I'll go. But will you be the one that says, I'll stay? No matter what, I'll stay. And that's the kind of heart that you have to have in the ministry. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And God, I don't know that if I was a help tonight. Lord, I just pray, God, that your Holy Spirit would take control and speak, Lord God, to every heart. Lord, we live in a difficult time, living even in a dangerous time. And we know that the devil, he is a roaring lion, and he wants to destroy so many. Help us, God, to be faithful, Lord. Be faithful until you come back for your church. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's stand, please. We'll have an invitation tonight and think on the preaching a little bit. Brother Mullins believes that that young man's testimony was probably used greatly for the Lord. Your testimony might be a little different, but if the Lord's done something for you and with you, you've got a testimony. The question is, will we let the Lord use it? Will we make the best of it to help somebody else? Brother Mullins felt the call of God here many, many years back, and he's proved that because he's given his best to the Lord, and God's used him. Could be there's another Brother Mullins sitting out there tonight. I don't know. Another testimony that somebody's got we may not know about, but God's wanting to use them. Tonight the invitation is, Lord, here am I. Like Isaiah said, send me. Send me. What's God spoken to you about? Will you say yes to him? Will you say that yes as we have an invitation tonight?
All to Jesus I surrender. All
that's the key, surrender.
I freely give.
God's will, not mine.
Trust him in his presence daily.
We see our college students sitting down here near the front like they should, and I remember back when I was in Bible college and we'd hear preachers come and messages like we just heard. It looked like an awful big gap between me and them. I'd hear the stories and see the results of God using somebody, and I'd think, that's way off out there. But I had an older professor read my mind one day. I mean, I was contemplating pretty deep, and he just said to me, he
He said, I know right now you don't see how God could use you, but he's going to use you. Well, he was right. Amen. And now getting near the end of the journey and look back and say, what a miracle, God used me. I look at Brother Mullins and I know some of his testimony, you've heard it before, and how God's used him. I believe there's a lot of Brother Mullins out there. I believe there's a lot of others. You may not have to fall out of the window backwards and be taken up dead. But whatever your testimony is, God can use it. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mullins. I want Brother Mullins to take your wife, Martha. Bring a, y'all come back down here. I want folks to be able to come shake hands with you. And they're leaving the bar. They got a long, long flight. And come by and let them know we love them. Be praying for them. Amen. This is part of our church. Our church is scattered around the world with couples like this, people that have come and left a testimony here behind, and God's using them. I used to hear it said more often than we say it today. We that are at home are supposed to hold the ropes for those that are going. And the analogy that they're going into a hole somewhere, we're holding the ropes, they're counting on us. Part of those ropes is prayer, as well as helping financially. And to let them know that we're not going to forget them when they leave. Amen.